समन्ता चक्कावालेषु अत्र गच्छन्तु देवता सकमं मुनिराजसा सुनन्तु सकमोखदं धम्म श्रवणकालो अयं बादण्ड धम्म श्रवणकालो अयं बादण्ड धम्म श्रवणकालो अयं बादण्ड नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मः सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मः सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मः सम्बुद्धस्स Today, I'd like to continue the topic, the sun slash. Yesterday, we have talked about how to get rid of attachment while eating by food contemplation as well as contemplate the loathsome aspect of food. And today, we will continue what Buddha said. Buddha said, it is in such a way, bhikkhus, that I say the nutriment, edible food should be comprehended. Comprehended by three ways. So there are three ways of comprehension. Number one is called comprehension as the known. The second, comprehension as investigating. The third, comprehension as abandoning. What is comprehension as known? First of all, we must understand what is nutriment, edible food. It is the material group with nutritive essence as the eight factor with its material basis. Nutritive action as the eight factor. This refer to rupa kalapa. In each rupa kalapa means particle. In each particle, they have eight elements. Earth element, water element, fire element, wind element, color, smell, taste, and nutritive essence. So this edible food is the nutritive essence, the last element in one tiny kalapa. This is according to Abhidhamma. But if according to the sutta method, what is edible food? Four elements. Earth element, water element, fire element, and wind element. Okay. And with its material basis. What is material basis? Four elements is themselves. Four elements themselves, Patavi, Apo, Tejo, Vayo, these are the basis for all material things. Just now I mentioned the eight elements. Apart from the four elements, there's color, smell, taste, and nutritive essence. These four arise depend on the four primary elements of earth element, water, fire, and wind. So these four primary elements are the basis for all material things. So we should understand in this way. And this material object means it. Where does it impinge? The food, when come to the tongue, where does it impinge? Where does it impinge? At the tongue's sensitivity. If you take the food, touch your hand, can the hand know the food or not? Cannot, because the hand has no tongue sensitivity. So only when you take the food, put inside the mouth and touch the tongue, then the tongue knows the taste because of tongue sensitivity. Jiva Pasada. And one further question, on what is the tongue sensitivity based? On the four great primaries of matter. In the same way, what is this tongue sensitivity? Where does tongue sensitivity arise? It arises depending on the four elements again. As I said, four primary elements are the basics for all materiality. Food is also materiality. Tongue sensitivity is also materiality. Both of them based on the four primary elements of earth, water, fire, and wind. So the nutritive essence and tongue sensitivity and the four great primaries, these things constitute the aggregate of materiality. Now, Rupa Khanda. Now we try to understand the five aggregates. The first aggregate is aggregate of materiality. What is aggregate of materiality? In the case of edible food, food itself contains, food itself based on the four elements. And the tongue sensitivity also based on the four elements. So both food, nutritive accent, tongue sensitivity, and four elements themselves constitute materiality aggregate, Rupa Khanda. Understand? Okay. Then, understand only materiality is not never enough. We must understand also mentality, right? So the yogi will ask, who knows the process of eating? When you are eating, you are taking your food. Who knows the process of eating? The process of eating I have shared with you yesterday. You know the earth element, water element, fire element, and so on. Who knows this four elements? You need to ask yourself this question. So by investigating, then the four mental aggregates of feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness, these four constitute mental aggregates. Without mental aggregate, you will never understand four elements. Without mental aggregate, you will never understand taste. You will never understand what is fire element, what is water element, and so on. So mental aggregate include feeling aggregate. So when you taste, when the food touch your tongue, you feel, maybe you feel pleasant. Pleasant feeling arises when the food touches the tongue sensitivity. So who knows that pleasant feeling? Who knows that pleasant feeling? So if you are a smart student, you will tell me, you will argue with me. Sister, to say who knows the feeling is not a correct question. Since there's no one who knows the taste, right? Then if I don't use who, what should I use? What also not correct? How also not correct? So, I still have to use who knows the taste? Who feels the pleasant feeling? Okay, anyway, to say who is not correct because there's no one, there's none. We only can say feeling feels the pleasant feeling, the pleasant taste. Therefore, feeling is mental aggregate. Then another another question. Who perceived the taste? So you know the taste, huh? Sour taste, sweet taste, salty taste. There's something that perceived the taste. What's that something? Perception. Perception. So perception perceive the taste. Without perception, you are unable to distinguish what is salty food, what is sweet food, what is sour food, and so on. So perception helps you to recognize. Perception helps you to perceive and mark, make a mark so that you will recognize it later on. Okay, so when you are chewing, now knowing the taste, and you have pleasant feeling, and because of pleasant feeling, craving arises. Craving arises. So you have strong desire, attachment to that craving. That is formation aggregate, performing the karma. As long as you have craving, attachment to the food, there is karma there. Therefore, karma is performed. While you are partaking your food, when you are partaking your food without clear comprehension, without mindfulness and clear comprehension, the karma is performed. That is under formation aggregate. And the last one, who cognize the taste? Consciousness. Consciousness cognize the taste. Because consciousness cognize the taste, then feeling can fuse, perception can perceive, formation can create the karma, taking delight in the food. All this, so who knows the process of eating? The four mental aggregates of feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness. Understand? Okay. Then all this what? Material aggregate and mental aggregate. All this phenomena constitute the five aggregates of clinging are just mind and matter. Nama Rupa. Now just now I mentioned the five aggregate. All this are called mind and matter. Mind are four mental aggregate. Matter are the four elements including food and tongue sensitivity. Thus, you understand the ultimate reality underlying the act of eating. So if you can listen in this way, while eating, first you comprehend the four elements of the food as I shared last night. Then later you also understand tongue sensitivity is also made up by four elements. It's also based on four elements. And you understand this is material aggregate. Then you understand when feeling arises. You like the food, there is a pleasant feeling. Then you understand this is feeling aggregate. Then you know this sour, this taste, this sweet. Then this is perception aggregate. You know, oh, this is perception aggregate. Perception aggregate can remember the taste of the food. Then you like it, you attach to the food, this formation aggregate, and you also know there's a consciousness cognize the food. So in this way, you understand the ultimate reality underlying the act of eating. So eating is not for enjoyment. It's not for amusement. Eating is for you to develop your understanding, your insight of ultimate reality. However, few person eat in this way. Everybody, most people eat with greed and attachment without sati sampajaya, without mindfulness and clear comprehension. So what you have learned from teacher, you have to put into practice. Otherwise, it just remain a theory for you. Okay? Therefore, I say while eating, there's no time for talking. There's time for comprehension. And for you to comprehend the process of eating, to understand mind and body, to understand five aggregates. And this mind and matter are subject to clinging by way of wrong view and craving. If you don't practice mindfulness and clear comprehension in the way I share, then that process of eating will enhance your personality view. You will think, I am eating, I am enjoying the food. So the perception of I becomes stronger and stronger. And without sati, sampajanya, without mindfulness and clear comprehension, when the attachment arises, when the clinging towards the food arises, and you want more and more, instead of discard the attachment, you develop more and more attachment. Therefore, this process of eating become the subject for craving and identity view. If you eat without mindfulness and clear comprehension. Understand? Okay. Just now I share is only clear comprehension as known. Now we come to second comprehension, comprehension as investigating. So the yogi, you are the yogi, further apply the three characteristics, impermanence, suffering, and non-self on mind and matter. How? So when you take the food, let's say, the food you chew, first is hard, hardness. Then when you chew, the food becomes smooth. So, from the hardness change to smoothness. It's also impermanent, right? The hardness no more there. The hardness already changed to softness. So it's also one type of changing, impermanent. And when you attach to the food, there's pleasant feeling. So you try to note that pleasant feeling, try to focus on that pleasant feeling. Focus, put your attention on that pleasant feeling. You will see when the food completely swallow, when you swallow it up, swallow it down, then the pleasant feeling also disappear. It does not last. The pleasant feeling also disappears, and at that time you should contemplate what? Impermanent of that pleasant feeling. And the perception also same. The perception on the food also change. Then the formation, the craving. When that pleasant feeling disappeared, the craving on that pleasant feeling also disappeared. Then you contemplate that craving as impermanent. Same as consciousness. Consciousness cognize, then another consciousness arise. The previous consciousness already disappeared. Followed by second one. When you're aware of that second consciousness, it also disappears, and the third consciousness arises, cognize the food again and again. So each five aggregate, you contemplate each five aggregate as impermanent, not reciting. Not mentally reciting, but see them as they really are. Understand? Too much information. See how much you can grasp. You just practice how you can understand, how you can put into practice. Or you can choose one. Among the five aggregates, you choose one. Let's say hearing. Very easy to discern. When the food touched the tongue, there's one feeling. whether pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So you catch that feeling. Watch it. Watch with mindfulness. Watch that pleasant feeling. Then keep on chewing. Yeah? Chewing, chewing. While chewing, you also observe that pleasant feeling. Pleasant feeling. Then definitely, I give you a guarantee. You will see the pleasant feeling arise, become less intense. Less intense, less intense, then pass away. Then you quickly not impermanent of pleasant feeling. Then take another mouthful of food. Another feeling arises. Watch it again. Focus on that feeling. See how it changes. Then you will see it arises, passes away. Then when you see it passes away, you note, you comprehend, or you contemplate impermanent. So this contemplation is not mental reciting. It's seeing things as they really are. You really see it arises and passes away. But if you do not contemplate impermanent, the perception of permanent, the perception of impermanent will not take root in your heart. Why I say so? I give you an example. Let's say, from the young until now, you have experienced, I think, thousands or billions of pleasant feelings from when you are young, baby, until now. Do you think you have experienced thousands of pleasant feelings arising and passing away? Yes or no? Louder? Your own experience? Yes. This is your personal experience, right? But is your perception of impermanent strong in you? Is your perception of impermanent take root in your heart? Or strong in you or not, in your insight or not? Yes or no? Louder? No. Why no? I don't understand. You have experienced your pleasant feeling arising, passing away from your childhood until now, thousand, billions times, right? So you through your own personal experience, you experience it impermanent. And how come Your perception of impermanence still not strong in your heart? There's something wrong. So why is it so? The answer is very simple. Simply because you do not note, you do not comprehend, you do not contemplate impermanent when this pleasant feeling passes away. You do not pay attention to the impermanence when you see it as it really is. So just you miss one thing only, one contemplation. And so when you see something passing away, this passing away including all your sorrow, all your happiness, all your fears, your happy feelings, unhappy feelings, and so on. When it passes away, if you can contemplate impermanent, anicca, vanishing, then it leaves a stable mark in your heart that nothing is permanent. One contemplation leaves one mark. Now, if from your childhood you already contemplate, until now you have lived million mark of impermanent in your heart, now I think you already become the noble one. Unfortunately. When we experience impermanent, we never note. We never comprehend. We never contemplate. We never pay attention to anicca. So we let that insight go away without any development. Without any mental development. Therefore, my special teaching is teaching how to contemplate impermanent. However, I have been teaching this method for years. and few of my students can get it. Only few of my students can really put my teaching into practice. Not my teaching. In fact, it's Buddha's teaching. I just emphasize it only. So I hope you can be awakened to the truth that one time of contemplation of impermanence leave a strong mark in your heart, the perception of impermanent. Okay, therefore, while eating the food, you can take one aggregate, either feeling aggregate or formation aggregate or four elements, materiality aggregate, to contemplate impermanent as they really are. When you really see it, you contemplate it. Okay. Then later on, if you can really see the taste arising, passing away, arising, passing away, arising, passing away very fast, then you will understand all these are unsatisfactory. All these are suffering, not happiness. And the process of changing, the process of impermanence, and being oppressed by constant arising and passing away cannot be regarded as permanent self. Therefore, it is not self, not a self. It is non-self. That is how he applied the three characteristics of impermanence, suffering, and non-self on mind and matter, or on five aggregates while eating. Okay? Next one. The third comprehension is comprehension as abandoning. By discarding attachment and desire in regard to that very mind and matter by way of the seven contemplations. So just now we contemplate anicca dukkha anatta, but still not enough. The yogi need to discard the attachment and desire in regard to mind and body, in regard to five aggregates. Because, okay, let me ask you a question. Why should we give up attachment and desire in regard to mind and body? In regard to five aggregates, why? Why? Because mind and body, or mind and matter, or five aggregates, are the truth of suffering. Because they are the truth of suffering, five aggregates of mind and body are subject to clinging. We cling to mind and body as I, mine, myself. And because we cling to mind and body as I, mine, myself, therefore suffering follows us. As long as we cling to them as I, mine, myself. Therefore, we have to, in order to bring the suffering to the end, we have to discard. We have to give up, or we have to abandon the attachment and desire for this mind and body. Otherwise, happiness will never come. So in order to give up the attachment and desire of mind and body, we have to practice seven contemplation. The first one, contemplating formations as impermanent, as I have said before. So when you contemplate what you eat, the four elements are impermanent, your feeling are impermanent, your craving is impermanent, then you abandon the perception of permanent. As I said, you have experienced so many arising and passing away of your feeling since childhood. But because you do not contemplate impermanent, therefore you do not abandon the perception of permanent. The second one, contemplating formations as painful. It abandons the perception of pleasure. So whatever the food come into your mouth, then you contemplate the four elements, the arising, passing away. Whatever feeling you feel, arising and passing away. Whatever craving you feel, craving you have, arising and passing away, then you should contemplate. Apart from impermanent, you now contemplate as painful, as suffering, as unsatisfactory. When you keep on contemplate formation as painful, then you abandon the perception of pleasure. You will not long after pleasure. You will not chase after pleasure anymore. The third one, contemplating formation as non-self. What is impermanent is suffering. What is impermanent? Suffering. Suffering cannot be regarded as permanent self. You should contemplate in this way. So by contemplating non-self, you or we abandon the perception of self. And to abandon the perception of self, we should further contemplate conditionality, which I have missed one step. Okay, I'm sorry, I missed one step. Let me go back to the comprehension as the known. So, in the comprehension as the known, he understands five aggregates. Later on, he also try to search for their conditionality and finds the causes of the arising of mind and matter or the five aggregates according to dependent origination. Just now, once he understands the five aggregates, before he contemplate the three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, he should search for the conditionality of the arising of this mind matter, of five aggregates. How? So five aggregates. Why five aggregates arises? Because of having consciousness. Because of having consciousness, five aggregate arises. Five aggregate arise. Then, why? What caused consciousness to arise? We go backward. The dependent origination, forward and backward. Now we go backward of dependent origination. So first we ask, why five aggregate arise? Then we trace back to the dependent origination. We find out the answer. That is consciousness. Because of consciousness, five aggregate arise. And then we trace back again. What caused consciousness to arise? Karma formation. In the morning, we chant. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara paccaya vijnana. Vijnana is consciousness. So sankhara paccaya vijnana. Karma formation caused consciousness to arise. So we trace back, because of karma formation. Then we trace back again. What caused karma formation to arise? Ignorance. Avijja, ignorance. What is ignorance? What is avijja? So sometimes when I ask what is avijja, then student answer me, avijja is ignorant. Or they ask the answer me, avijja is uming. I know avijja is ignorant. What is the real meaning of avijja? The real meaning of avijja ignorant is not understanding the Four Noble Truths. Not understanding the Four Noble Truths. Because this yogi does not understand the five aggregates, it's the truth of suffering. Therefore, he developed desire and attachment for the five aggregates. So he doesn't understand avijja. as you try to find the conditionality of the arising of five aggregate, you understand there are causes. The causes is because of consciousness, and consciousness arise because of karma formation, and karma formation arise because of ignorance. Not knowing the truth of suffering, we perform karma to get the five aggregate. Now we get the five aggregate already, then suffering follows us. Okay. So when you try, when you trace the conditionality, then you start to understand these five aggregates are also non-self. They are the product of the causes. They are the product of the causes, or they are the effect of the causes. Then you start to understand all these five aggregates are not a permanent self, not the abiding entity, not at all. All these are product or effect of causes, effect of conditionality. So once you understand what are the five aggregates, and you understand the conditionality of mind and matter, these two are called comprehension as the known. After that, then you start to investigate or apply the three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta of this mind and matter. And when you see anicca, dukkha, anatta of mind and matter, then you come to comprehension as abandoning, try to abandon the desire and attachment for them by way of seven contemplation. So contemplation of contemplating formations as impermanent, contemplating formation as painful, contemplating formation as non-self. And the fourth, becoming dispassionate. He abandons delighting. When you keep on seeing now formation, your five aggregates arising, passing away. When the insight becomes strong, then you see very fast, rapid arising and passing away. Not one arising, wait 5 minutes, only passing away. No, not so slow. What's arising, passing away? Very, very fast. Then, or for some yogi, after they experience the insight of arising and passing away, then they see dissolution. They only see dissolution. Whatever they see, just dissolution, dissolution, dissolution. It's called knowledge of dissolution. So when you reach this knowledge of dissolution, you imagine, try to imagine, if you, whatever you see, you hear, you contemplate, is only passing away, dissolution, dissolution. Then your mind will get very disenchanted. Become dispassionate. Once you get disenchanted, then your mind becomes dispassionate. When your mind becomes dispassionate, then you abandon delighting. You no more delight in the mind and body, because they keep on dissolution. They keep on passing away, vanishing. You cannot hold on to it, stop for a while. No, you can't do it. This is the nature of the Dharma. You just have to accept it. So by seeing things keep on passing away, then the mind become very disenchanted, become wary of arising and passing away, become tired, become disenchanted. Then the mind become dispassionate. Therefore, then this yogi abandon delighting. He does not delight in mind and body anymore. It does not delight in five aggregates. Okay? Then, number five, contemplating fading away. Fading away of what? Attachment. Previously, we liked mind and body, we liked five aggregates. Why? Because we think that we can control them. But now, a yogi keep on seeing this dissolution, passing away in rapidly. So he know he cannot control the whole process anymore. Therefore, now he want to get rid of attachment. So contemplating fading away of the attachment to the five aggregates which he now cannot control. So when he contemplates fading away, he abandons greed, loba. He abandons greed for this five aggregates. Before you can see dissolution, you cannot give up your greed. And number six, contemplating cessation. He abandons the originating. Contemplating cessation of what? Cessation of mind and body. Cessation of five aggregate. Because the yogi keep on seeing dissolution, vanishing, passing away. So he wish one day this mind and body can stop. Stop forever, no more working. So he contemplating cessation, because he understand only mind and body, five aggregate come to cessation, no more arising. This is called bliss. This is called peace. This is called nibbana. So he direct his mind, to see the cessation of mind and body. Hope the mind and body can come to completely cessation, which is bliss. No more dissolution, no more arising, no more passing away. This is called contemplating cessation. So he abandoned originating. Originating means arising. When there's no arising, there's no ceasing. When there's no birth, there's no death, right? We don't lie death. No one lies death. So if we don't lie death, we should abandon birth. Am I right? Okay. Similarly, so he contemplating cessation of mind and body. So he abandons originating. He abandons birth, arising. Because to him, every arising is suffering. Whatever arises is the arising of suffering. The most famous Buddha's word, whatever arises is arising of suffering. Whatever ceases is the cessation of suffering. It's the most famous Buddha's word. In this arising and ceasing, there's no one. Just the nature of arising and ceasing, no one undergo arising and ceasing. The last contemplation, contemplating relinquishment or giving up. He abandoned grasping. So this relinquishment, there are two meanings. Relinquishment, the first meaning is giving up. Giving up of what? Giving up of refinements. All the refinements, greed, hatred, and delusion. Giving up all the refinements. And another meaning is entering into nibbana. So contemplating relinquishment, he abandons grasping. Grasping of what? Of mind and body, of five aggregate. So he abandoned all the refinement and enter into nibbana. So there's no more grasping. Grasping means attachment or craving. And craving is the origin of all suffering. So these are seven contemplations. It's in such a way, bhikkhus, that I say the nutriment, edible food, should be comprehended. We have been taking our food for more than how many years already? 30 years, 40 years, some 60 years already. No one contemplate in this way, right? We just enjoy the food, enjoy, and let the greed, attachment arise more and more. That's all. We never have desire to see things as they really are. So today I show you the way how to eat mindfully to develop your insight. So Buddha said, it's in such a way, bhikkhus, that I say the nutriment edible food should be comprehended. Comprehended by the three comprehension I just show you. I just share with you. Okay. If the nutriment edible food is comprehended, the last for the five sense objects is thereby comprehended. How? So what are the five sense objects? Food is one. Food considered taste. Then another one, visual object. What the eye sees, visual object. Then the second one, what the ear hear, sounds. The third one, what the nose smell. And the fourth, what the tongue taste. And the last one, what the body touch, which is tangible object. So now Buddha asks, if you understand, if you can comprehend the edible food by way of three comprehension, then the last for the five sense objects, visible object, sound, taste, smell, and tangible, is thereby comprehended. How? First, by first looking at the food's clean, bright appearance, this lasts for visual objects. So when first you go in the bath, taking your bowl and your eye look at the food, is the last arise in your mind or not? Yes or no? Only some say yes, the rest no, right? I remember one of my students in USA, when I teach them how to contemplate the food, how to contemplate the last, by first looking at the food, not before the food touch the tongue. By first looking at the food, then this yogi reported to me. He said, "Sister, when I first look at the food, I can see the greed arises in my heart, and my heart pumps so fast, pip-pop, until I take all the food and back to my seat, go to my own seat, my heart still pip-pop, just because of lust for the visual object, before the taste come to the contact of the tongue." Then she said that she's almost 60 years old. Before that, I never know I have lust for food. Now, just by visually look at the food, my heart pumps so fast, faster than, than usual for long, long time. So this first, by first looking at the food's clean, bright appearance, let's lust for visual object. That's how my student experienced. And if you have not yet experienced it, doesn't mean that you have no lust. Simply because you have no mindfulness, right? Not because you have no lust for visual object. Simply because when your eye look at a food, your mind becomes so restless. You don't even know lust has arisen in your mind. So tomorrow, when you go Pindabat, the first thing you have to do is check when your eye come to contact with the food, what is your reaction? Please check. What is your reaction? This is your task, to know yourself better. And okay, so when after taking the food, when chewing hard food, there's also sound, right? Especially crunchy food. Japanese, there's one noodle called udon noodle. According to Japanese culture, you take that food, you must produce a lot of sound to show that the food is delicious. So when chewing the hard food or this udon noodle, there's also a sound. And when enjoying such sounds, even though you hear other people eat with sound, your desire also will arise, right? People eat so delicious with sound, then you also have desire for that food. Because first you have desire for the sound first, then from that you have desire for that food he is taking. Why he can enjoy so much? I also want to try. So this is called lust for sounds. Okay? Then when enjoying the food smell, when you take the food, you also feel the smell. Or even when before you take the food, let's say you go shopping. You go shopping and when you come across a restaurant and the smell will come out from the restaurant, even though you are not hungry, but the craving for that good smell force you to go inside the student to have a taste. That's called craving for the smell, lust for the smell. Similarly, while eating the food, you also can smell. Your nose is also function. You also can smell the smell, good smell. Then at that time, there's also lust for the smell. And the next one, true is pleasant taste. Less lust for taste objects. When the food touch the tongue, there's a taste. Sure, you have lust for it. And lastly, when enjoying the softness like yogurt or tofu of the food, when the food touch the tongue, you feel so smooth, so soft. So you develop the lust for the tangible object, for the touch object, for that smoothness, for that softness. That's called lust for tangible object through the body, to the body sensitivity. So by taking a food, the lust for the five objects are thereby comprehended. Is it clear? Okay. So when in such a way the food is considered with mindfulness and clear comprehension, sati sambhajanya, and is being eaten without greed and attachment. How to eat without greed and attachment? I have shown you the way already. You contemplate the four elements, anicca, dukkha, anatta, your feeling, your perception, your consciousness, anicca, dukkha, anatta. So this is called clear comprehension. And it's being eaten without greed and attachment, then there is a total comprehension of it. Total comprehension means not only contemplate the food, you also contemplate the lust for the visual object, the lust for the sound, the lust for the smell, the lust for the taste, and the lust for the tangible object. So by contemplating one, you contemplate the all, the five. This is called total comprehension. Not only single, total comprehension. It is in such a way, bhikkhus, that I say the nutriment edible food should be comprehended. When the nutriment edible food is fully comprehended, lust for the five courts of sensual pleasures is fully comprehended. When the lust for the five courts of sensual pleasures is fully understood, there is no fetter bound by which a noble disciple might come back again to this world. So if you can practice in this way, by just being mindful and clear comprehension on taking the food, at the same time understand the last for the five sensual objects by way of three comprehension as known, comprehension as investigating, and comprehension as abandoning, then there's no fetter bound by which a noble disciple might come back again to this world. This means that this yogi can attain anagami, the third stage of sainthood, non-returner, anagami. So the five lower fetters abandoned by non-returner. Once you attain the non-returner, you destroy five lower fetters. Number one is personality belief. You do not see, you no more see five aggregates as I, mine, myself. Secondly, skeptical doubt. You do not doubt the triple gem anymore. Now you still doubt. Now you have faith, but your faith is shakable. not unshakable. Only when you attain to the Sotapanna, your faith become unshakable. Not to speak, you attain Anagami. Then attachment to rice and riches. In fact, personality, belief, skeptical doubt, and attachment to rice and riches, these three factors are abandoned by Sotapanna. And the fourth, sensual desire. He abandoned sensual desire. Therefore, he does not come back to this sensual world. Therefore, his name is called non-returner. No more return. No more return to where? No more return to sensual world. But he still have attachment to five material world. Therefore, after he died, Anagami died, he reborn in the five material world. And lastly, he has eradicated ill will. Yeah, he has no more anger at all. Don't test him, huh? Get yourself into trouble. Okay. So this is how by comprehend edible food. By comprehend edible food, then you can attain up to non-returner anagami. Okay, that's all for today.